Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Live Through Jesus podcast with Courtney Gilmore. On this episode, just a little bit of foolishness. This is Ecclesiastes 10. Sometimes it only takes just a tiny bit of something to ruin the whole thing, right? Especially a great example of this would be when you're cooking. If you put just a little too much of certain ingredients in your food, you'll have to throw the whole thing away. It's like it wasn't supposed to overtake the entire dish. It just needed to, you know, it blended if you put just a little bit. But when you put just a little too much, it takes everything over. And there's things like this in life. Especially bad things. It sometimes only takes just a tiny bit of something bad to undo all of the good. And so we've been going through Ecclesiastes, and in the last chapter, chapter 9, Solomon was talking about living a wise and joyful life. And in this chapter, he's talking about being foolish. And he says that it only takes a little bit of foolishness to get hurt, to make you look stupid, to ruin your reputation, to make it where people don't listen to you anymore, to make sure you don't have any money, and to basically just ruin your life. And so he's guarding us against foolishness, telling us that if we are foolish, all of these things can happen to us, and giving us some instances. And so I'm going to just start by reading chapter 10, and then we'll just go through it. And as we're going through it, we'll look at some supporting verses. And so in verse 1, it says, "Dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink. So a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor." So what he's saying here is what I was just saying, is that it only takes a tiny bit of foolishness to overpower all of our wisdom and honor that we have. Just like how it would only take, dead flies to make the perfumer's oil stink. It doesn't matter how good it smells. You add something in it that is dead and it's not going to smell good anymore. And then verse 2, "A wise man's heart directs him towards the right, but a foolish man's heart directs him towards the left." And so if your heart is wise, you will know the right thing to do. You will be directed towards the right path. But the foolish man's heart seems to always choose the wrong things. He always goes in the wrong direction. He's just inclined in that direction. So it's important to be wise. Maybe you've seen that before, where it's like you just always seem to choose the wrong thing. That is because that person's heart is foolish. Verse 3, "Even when the fool walks along the road, his sense is lacking, and he demonstrates to everyone that he's a fool." So you can't hide it very well. It's pretty evident to everyone, just in everyday activities, that a person is foolish if they are foolish. And so we need to guard our hearts and direct them towards God so that God can lead us in wisdom and we're not corrupted by foolishness. Because that's basically what this whole chapter is about, is that we can easily be corrupted by foolishness if we are not careful, if we're not guarding our hearts and filling it with the wisdom of God, if we're not allowing God to guide us. And so in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." And then in Psalm 119:33-36, it says, "Teach me the way of your statutes, Lord, and I will comply with them to the end. Give me understanding so that I may comply with your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the paths of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain." So we want to be inclined towards God's ways, the wise ways, so that we will not be inclined to the wrong things. Just as it was saying before. Now, verse 4 kind of goes along with some other verses later on in the chapter. And so we're going to skip verse 4 for right now, and we're going to read verses 5, 6, and 7. And it says, "There is an evil that I've seen under the sun, like an error which goes forth from the ruler. Folly is set in many exalted places, while rich men sit in humble places. And I've seen slaves riding on horses, and princes walking like slaves on the land." And so he's saying that when rulers are foolish, nothing goes the way that it should. They elevate other foolish, undeserving people, and they don't promote people who are rich, presumably in wisdom and ability, those that are deserving. So these people that have an abundance of the things that they need in order to be promoted don't get promoted. They stay in lowly places. And the foolish king promotes the foolish, undeserving people. And when they do that, then everything is chaos. Everything happens the opposite way that it should. And so you see slaves riding horses and princes walking like a slave. And so he's just trying to say that when you are inclined to go into the wrong direction, then everything goes in the wrong direction. Everything is chaotic. Nothing is in the right order, and nothing goes as planned. And then if you skip down to verses 16 and 17, it says, "Woe to you, O land, whose king is a lad and whose princes feast in the morning. And blessed are you, O land, whose king is of nobility and whose princes eat at the appropriate time, for strength and not for drunkenness." And so what he's saying here is that it's hard on the people to have a foolish king because everything is chaotic, nothing goes as it should. It's also hard on the people to have an inexperienced king or a king who starts partying in the morning. Someone who is just totally irresponsible is basically what he's saying. And he says, but the kingdom is blessed if they have a responsible king, the one that does the right thing, who is noble, and the one who eats at the appropriate times. Basically, you know, does the things that he should do and make sure that he's responsible so that he can be a good king. And so we don't want to be foolish. We want to be wise, self-controlled. Isaiah 5, 20 to 21 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight." So this is just that topsy-turvy world of a fool that doesn't know right from wrong or good from bad or light from darkness or bitter from sweet, who actually think that the bad things are good and the good things are bad. And the dark is light and the light is dark and the sweet is bitter and the bitter is sweet, right? James 3, 16 to 18 says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every good evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, and then peace-loving, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and free of hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." And so this just shows us that the fool has chaos and the wise person is peace-loving and gentle and reasonable and full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and free of hypocrisy. Then if we go to verses 8 through 11, it says, "He who digs a pit may fall into it, and a serpent may bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries stones may be hurt by them, and he who splits logs may be endangered by them. If the axe is dull and he doesn't sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. But wisdom has the advantage of giving success. If the serpent bites before being charmed, then there's no profit for the charmer." And so basically he's saying foolish people get hurt. If you're not careful when you're digging a pit, you'll fall into it. If you've ever done anything like that, you know that sometimes the ground can get soft close to where you're digging and you can slide right in. And so we have to be careful. If you have ever tore down anything, a wall, a building, a fence, anything, you know that you have to be careful because you can have wild animals hiding in that. And he says, you know, you could get bit by a snake if you're just carelessly tearing this thing down without paying any attention. If you're a person that's cutting stones or cutting logs, you can get hurt if you're just, you know, carefree, paying no attention to what you're doing. And these are all acting in foolish ways. And so being foolish can get you hurt. Also, if you're not wise, you just have to work a lot harder. He says, if you're not smart enough to sharpen your axe, then you're going to have to work a lot harder to cut that log than if you were just wise enough to cut, to sharpen the axe. And it's that way in all kinds of situations, right? We can work smarter or we can work harder. The wiser we are, the more successful the thing that we're trying to do will be. And then in verse 11, when it says, if the serpent bites before being charmed, there's no profit for the charmer. That's basically saying that even if you have wisdom, if you're not using it in the proper time or the proper way, then it's also useless to you. And so you have to be wise about when to use the knowledge and the skill and the abilities that you have. Otherwise, that wisdom is kind of wasted. And so we need to be careful and cautious and aware in everything that we do. Work smarter so that we don't have to work so hard. And then down in verse 15, it says, the toil of a fool so wearies him that he doesn't even know how to go to a city. And so this is basically saying that everything is overwhelming to a fool. It's the simplest tasks he can't even do because it's just too overwhelming for him. And so if we ever find ourselves in that situation where we just feel overwhelmed by the simplest things, then we need to look to God for wisdom. We need to say, somehow I am not doing this job in the smart way. And so I'm having to work way too hard and it is completely wearing me out and overwhelming me. And so I need your help, God. I need you to show me how to do this job smarter, how to be wiser in the things that I'm doing and look to him and let him teach you. Proverbs 3:21-23 says, my son, let them not vanish before your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. You'll be safe. You won't get hurt if you keep wisdom and discretion with you. And then Psalm 119:97-105 says, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the old, because I have complied with your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, so that I may keep your word. I haven't turned aside from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word will guide us. And if we are like the psalmist here and we are taught by God, then we'll be wiser than all the teachers and all of the old wise people who have been around long enough that they should know things, right? God makes us wise. He's the one that teaches us and guides our path. So if we lack wisdom, we need to go to him. Isaiah 30:21 says, your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or the left. So listen to God and let him guide you. Now let's go to verse 4 that we missed earlier. It says, if the ruler's temper rises up against you, do not abandon your position, because composure allays, great offenses. So fools don't have control over their temper. And that is not a situation that we want to be in. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city." And then Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back." Then let's go down to verses 12 and 13. They say, "Words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of his talking is folly, and the end of it is wicked madness." So a fool doesn't control his temper, and he also doesn't control his words. A wise man's words are beneficial to everyone, but a fool ends up hurting himself with the things that he says. And then this verse 13 says, "The beginning of his talking is folly, and the end of it is wicked madness." So he's basically saying that the fool, as soon as he opens his mouth, it's evident that he's a fool. Yeah, that's what it was saying when it said, you know, the man can just walk down the street and you can tell that he's a fool. He said that in verse 3. And so here he's saying, as soon as he opens his mouth, you can tell that he's a fool. And then the longer you're talking, you're like, no, he's crazy. I don't know if y'all have ever listened to anyone like that or if you've ever noticed that in yourself. But I notice that sometimes, unfortunately, in myself, where I get all riled up about something. And so after a little while, I'm like, no one wants to listen to you. You sound like a crazy lady. And that kind of goes to a little bit of foolishness ruins all the wisdom. Even if I might know what I'm saying, even if I'm onto something, if I get myself all worked up and I just go on and on and on until I sound like a crazy person, then everybody's going to think that I'm a fool, and nothing that I say that is wise is going to matter. No one's going to listen to me. A fool doesn't have control over his tongue any more than he has control over his temper. And we need to get control of the words that we say and make sure that they're beneficial to the people that we are talking to. So James 3, 2 to 10 says, "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone doesn't stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to rein in the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits in the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we can direct their whole body. Look at the ships, too. They are so large, and they are driven by strong winds, yet they are nevertheless directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot determines. So also, the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. See how a great forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very words of the unrighteous. The tongue is set among our body's parts as that which defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one among mankind can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and curses. My brothers and sisters, this should not be so." So we need to be able to control our tongue, but unfortunately it says you'll never be totally successful. But that doesn't mean that we don't need to try, because this is showing us the same thing, that a little bit of foolishness taints all of our wisdom. A little bit of foolishness in the way that we speak can destroy everything. Because just like we can control the whole horse by his mouth, then our entire body is controlled by our tongue. And so we can torch our whole lives with the bad things that we say if we're not careful. And so this is just showing us that we need to be in control of our tempers, in control of our words, so that we don't mess everything up with just the lack of self-control, things that we say and the things that we do. Also, in Proverbs 18:7, it says, "A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul." Proverbs 10:21, The lips of the righteous feed many, but the fool dies for lack of understanding. Proverbs 13:3. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life, but the one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. So we need to be careful about the things that we say. Also, down in verse 20, it says, furthermore, in your bedchamber, do not curse a king, and in your sleeping room, do not curse a rich man. For a bird of the heavens will carry the sound, and the winged creature will make the matter known. So even in private, we have to be careful about what we say, because it can easily come back to bite you. You know, most of the time, it'll come back around. You think that you're saying something in private, but it ends up coming right back around. Romans 1:21-22 says, for even though they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their reasoning, and their senseless hearts were darkened, their foolish hearts. They had no sense. And so professing to be wise, they became fools. Luke 12:2-3 says, but there's nothing covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that can't be made known. According to whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. So nothing's a secret. Got to be careful about what you say, even when you are in private. And then I just realized that I missed verse 14. Verse 14 says, yet the fool multiplies words. No man knows what will happen, and who can tell him what will come after him? So he's saying that fools never know quite as much as they think they do, yet they keep on talking, keep on showing everybody how little they know. We need to be careful to say the things that we know and then keep our mouths shut if we don't know it, because the longer we talk, the more evident it is that we don't know what we're talking about. Romans 1:21-22 says, even though they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their reasonings, and their senseless hearts were darkened. So professing to be wise, they became fools. Got to be careful of acting like we know things that we don't. And then the very last couple of verses are verses 18 and 19. And verse 18 says, through indolence, the rafters sag, and through slackness, the house leaks. Men prepare a meal for enjoyment, and wine makes life merry, and money is the answer to everything. Now, he's not saying that money is the answer to everything. He's saying that this person thinks that. And so what he's saying is that you may think that you can just, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, and then if everything falls apart, you'll just throw some money at it. But he said, it doesn't work like that. If you're lazy, everything will fall apart. The rafters will sag and the house will leak. But this is foolish, because in the end, this is not going to work for you. Being irresponsible, as he said about the king who parties all day long, is not going to benefit anyone in the long run. So we need to be diligent and proactive, because the way that we live ultimately will determine whether our life is built on wisdom or whether it's ruined by foolishness. Proverbs 14:1 says, the wise woman built her house, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands. We have to be proactive, otherwise we can destroy our lives. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Laziness doesn't benefit anyone. Proverbs 24:33-34 says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. Same as a little foolishness, just a little bit of resting, and all of a sudden, you're poor. You got nothing. I'm going to end with Matthew 7:16-26. It says, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes aren't gathered from thorn bushes, and figs are not gathered from thistles. So every good tree bears good fruit, and the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree who doesn't bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. So this is talking about how it's evident when you're foolish. But if you have a wise heart, then you will walk in wisdom. So he's like, everybody can tell pretty quick whether you know what you're talking about or you don't. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name did we not cast out demons? And in your name did we not perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Leave me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and it will not fall, for it has been founded on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them, doesn't actually treat me like I am their Lord, I am their boss, and do what I say, then they're like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. That person's house is going to fall. So if we don't want our lives to be tainted and destroyed by foolishness, then we need to listen to the words of God and do them. That is what makes us wise. That is what keeps us safe. That is what helps us not have to work so hard. That is what makes everything not overwhelming. That is what makes it easier. That's what makes us more successful, doing things in the wise ways of God. So it was a pretty short chapter. And next week, we're going to do both of the last two chapters of Ecclesiastes. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss that episode. And then if you would like the blog posts that go along with this, you can become a paid subscriber at livethroughjesus.substack.com. And then if you want the written lesson, you can become a paid subscriber there. And then also follow me on social media at livethroughjesus, and I'll be posting clips from this and also scriptures from here. And then that's all I have, so I'll just see you back next week. Thanks and have a good day. Thank you.